Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ruth Walasoff. And we are actually having a wonderful conversation with Rich Brancefort, who is the publisher of Good Times magazine. And while the magazine is very interesting and full of information every other week, what we're enjoying is how a magazine basically came about and how Rich has done things during the years. And the story we're going to go to now, which I don't know what it is in reference to Murray the K.
Yeah, I had turned down the job working for Jimi Hendrix, and I was at AT&T. But I started the Good Times, which in the early days was called Action World. The first year and a half, it was called Action World. I changed the name in 1971 because people thought we were putting out a porno newspaper. So I came up with the name Good Times. We trademarked it.
I thought Good Times is less porno?
It's less fun. Good Times means fun. Action World means super fun.
Okay.
So I'm at AT&T, and I had started the paper. So what I used to do is AT&T made you dress in business suit, three-piece suit, and wingtips, black wingtip shoes. So every day I would come to work dressed up for AT&T, but during my lunch hour, I would go to the East Village, where I would be selling ads to the head shops, the clubs, Christina Gorby's, the improvisational theater groups, wearing my AT&T attire. It was a little bit hard to walk down St. Mark's Place looking like that in those days. In those days, the freaks were the people who were wearing the suits, not the guys who were the hippies. So I started the paper simultaneously, and I was doing it afternoons and nights and weekends. My whole premise was there's nothing on Long Island. There's nothing to tell people where to go. The Village Voice didn't cover Long Island.
You really filled a need.
I grew up in Queens, and we all went to the city, but Island was becoming a place that everybody was starting to go to. So one day I'm sitting at my desk. We had tiers, just like in a classroom. We were like seven rows of desks for where AT&T was. I was the 195 magazine, which was the management magazine that I was associate editor of. And my secretary buzzes me, and she said, oh, Mr. Brancefort, there's a Mr. K on the phone for you. So I'm figuring it's somebody from Long Lines or 195 or corporate. So I pick up the phone, and just like on the radio, the voice goes, "Hey, Dick, this is Murray the K. How's it dropping?" And I was kind of taken back for a minute. I said, "Murray?" And he said, "Yeah, Dick, I picked up your rag at one of the clubs, and I love it." And then he went into a whole shtick about he was managing a Canadian artist named Tony Kosinek, and it would be like far out, solid, right on, and every other hackneyed expression you could come up with was fun, if I could do a story on Tony Kosinek. Now, meanwhile, word has spread throughout the A&T world that the new guy, who's 22 years old, is talking to Murray the K on the phone. So suddenly I have an assembly of about 50, no grown-ups. They were all kids my age. They were from the mailroom. They were the secretaries. "Is he talking to me or Surrey? What's he saying?" So that worked out real well. I finished talking to Murray. We said we were going to do the interview. I get done. About 15 minutes later, the phone rings. It's my boss, Jim, two rows up. He says, "Rich, could you come up here for a moment, please?" So I go up, and he says, "You know, you're doing a very good job here at AT&T, but it hasn't escaped management's notice that you're publishing your own newspaper, and you're going to have to make a decision whether you want to be an AT&T employee or you want to have your own publication." So I thought about it. 3 months later, my last article was literally, "Can a person under 30 find happiness in a large corporation?" And I handed in my resignation a week later, figuring I'm going to do Good Times for a year or two, get free records from everybody, and go to Woodstock for free with free passes. And that was the end of my
AT&T. We're going to have a good time, right?
We had a good time out there, but I still think back, gee, would I have become president of AT&T if I would have stayed there for 20 or 30 years? I don't think so, but...
No, you know, all these things, it's amazing. When you look back, if you enjoyed it and you had fun, you know, and obviously, a magazine like this, you bring fun to other people, too. People, obviously, not every week's publication...
You're very good at it.
Yeah.
Well, I still remember we did an interview with Garth Brooks, and we were sitting talking to him, and it was his first tour. He was a rookie. And he says, "I can't believe it, that a New York publication is interested in country." And we did Garth Brooks, Randy Travis, you name it, we did it. We've always been trying to cover all kinds of music, not just what I liked or what somebody else on the staff liked. We had interviews with the Sex Pistols, the Damn, the Clash, all those groups. Bruce Springsteen, we did the second American interview with Bruce Springsteen. My managing editor, who suggested it to me, said, "You probably never heard of this guy, but I want to put him on the cover." And I said, "Yeah, you're right. I'd never heard of him. Glenn, do you think he's going to be big?" And he says, "I'm pretty sure of it." He says, "But the head of Crawdaddy magazine is doing an interview. So if we do an interview with him, you'll be the second publication in the world to do a Bruce Springsteen interview." I said, "If you think he's going to be big, go with it." Two things happened. He became a superstar. And 6 months later, Glenn, my editor, came in, closed the door. And you always know it's a bad thing when an employee says, "Can I close the door and talk to you?" And he said, "I'm going to be leaving the paper." And I said, "Glenn, I can't believe it," because I knew him from college. He was just hired to be Bruce Springsteen's tour publicist.
Oh, my God.
Today, Glenn Brumman is vice president of Epic Records. He's got 22 Grammy Awards to his credit, including the Forrest Gump soundtrack.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And it all started from, "Rich, I got this guy. I want to put him on the cover of Good Times. You probably never heard of him."
That's an amazing story.
That is an amazing story.
Actually, I have a question, and just random. Billy Joel. Anything with
many times we've done
really?
Him. One time, I'll tell you a quick Billy Joel story. We had an office in Glenhead. At that time, we had about 10 people working for us. And my secretary buzzes me, and she says, "Rich, I've got a Mr. Joel on the phone." So I said, "Who?" She says, "Billy Joel's on the phone." So I said, "Yeah, right, of course." So
he was Billy Joel.
I pick
already.
Up the phone, and this is like 87.
Okay.
I pick up the phone, and it's Billy Joel. And he says, "Rich, I am very disappointed with you." I said, "What?" Now, I didn't know him well, but we had met a number of times. I had gone to many of his concerts, particularly even when he was starting out. He says, "I was in Las Vegas, and my clipping service sent me clippings from all the publications that have done reviews on my new album." He says, "I couldn't believe it that Good Times, my hometown paper, shagged my new CD, my new album." And I didn't know what to say. I said, "Well, you know, if you feel that bad about it, why don't you do another interview with us?" And he says, "Okay."
That
and
was
he wound
very
up
clever.
Taking one of
that
my.
That was very clever.
Took one of my writers out to. It's Rothman's now, but it was Burt Bacharach's Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. Took him out to Rothman's, did one of the longest interviews we've ever had in Good Times. We had to break it into two parts. And he basically said, you know, he felt that a lot of people got him on him when he went so-called Hollywood with more up-tempo, uptown girl kind of songs. But he's just a regular guy who loves Long Island. And it was fascinating. A lot of these people feel the same way. They may be superstars, but they still remember their roots.
What was that album? I'm just curious. I don't remember.
Don't remember.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's the one that had Uptown Girl on it, though.
Oh, okay.
I think
okay.
He just married Christie Brinkley.
Oh.
That's interesting.
That's
okay.
A while ago. But you must meet very, very fascinating people in your line of work.
We meet strange people, interesting people. I mean, we've met everybody from, you know, startup artists. Part of the mission of Good Times has always been to publish articles on new and upcoming acts, regardless of how unknown they are. As a matter of fact, Clive Davis, who was president of Arista Records, once commented, because we covered a band called GTO, which is actually Steve Howe and Steve Hackett, Steve Howe being from Yes. And we covered that act, and we covered Sean Phillips, another one of their artists. And he said to his head of publicity, "One thing about Good Times magazine, they'll cover acts that nobody else will touch with a 10-foot pole." But, you know, if you want to do interviews with Bruno Mars, if you want to do interview with Rod Stewart, so does everybody else. It's been done a million times. You can find that online. Nobody wants to do interviews with the first album artist. And that's why we're so big into electronic dance music now. We cover everything with electronic dance. We cover dubstep. And we've got a cutting-edge column that talks about artists that nobody has heard of. The writer happens to be my son, which I didn't know he had that great writing skill. His knowledge of EDM is encyclopedic. He's an electrical engineer for IBM. But by night, he's DJ Schwager, who has played Webster Hall, amongst other places. And he just knows everything about artists, whether they're from Thailand or whatever. And the people who read Good Times love to be kind of turned on. They love to be pointed in the direction of great new music. And that's part of our mission, to let people know that Clark Gardens has an incredible series or that the Gold Coast Film Festival is taking place. They know it because they read some of it, but they don't know the inner workings or what's going to go on or the spooky walk kind of thing.
You seem to be very interested in music, all kinds of music. Did you ever play in any instrument?
No, I wish I had. I have two drum sets in my house. Both of them are my son's.
Uh-huh.
And I just love music. And I always enjoyed the performance rather than the ambiance. I mean, I never really enjoyed talking to the artist because I felt that was almost groupie-ish. What did you do? Where'd you go? We always made sure the writers at Good Times kept away from the hackneyed questions like, what'd you have for breakfast? Do you like American women kind of questions? As opposed to, when we interviewed Wilson Pickett, my music writer confronted him and said, is it true that on such and such a song, on such and such an album, you stole the riffs from a 1947 Little Tommy Tucker album on such and such obscure label?
Right.
And you hear the tape and Wilson Pickett is gasps. And he just turned around and he says, I didn't know any white man would know that.
And that's interesting.
The person who did the interview, Aaron Fuchs, is now president of one of the largest independent record companies in New York. And that's it. We've always tried to get people that had a lot of music knowledge as opposed to the pop aspect of it. Pop is fun. We've interviewed Groucho Marx, Betty Davis, Dustin Hoffman, just about anybody you can think of. But the upcoming artists are the ones that are more exciting because they're still excited about what they're doing.
I think it's amazing. I mean, 48 years is amazing. That's where your credibility comes from because you started it, and many of the people you interviewed and talked about are mega stars. And so anybody would want to be with you today as a new person, a new budding star, because you have history. It's amazing.
And we find that's what's amazing because whether it's an Iron Maiden concert or whether it's a Lost Land or Ultra Festival, we have no trouble getting tickets to anything, which is very difficult for a print publication that's a local publication. We're not Rolling Stone. Spin Magazine's gone, but we're not a national publication. And, people now want readerships in the millions. It's an amazing world when somebody like Twitter can be in bad shape because they only have 300 million people using
that's
them on
true.
Any given day.
Right. You have
I have two
and
questions,
success.
Rich.
And no, we're done, unfortunately, Ruth.
I'm sorry.
This flies. This was tremendous. I really enjoyed it
really
so much.
It really flew.
But we're done, Rich. Congratulations and good luck, and I hope to have you back. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.